So the talk for today, well, first of all, I'm always really happy to be here. I'm very grateful, since gratitude is the theme. I'm very grateful always for the invitation to come and see you and to speak to you and to help support this wonderful community. And I'm so excited for Vision that you're about to move into a new home, because new homes are new containers of consciousness. And so that means everybody's been changing, that you're ready for something new. And that is very, 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 very exciting. So I can't wait to see it. And the talk for today is A Grateful Heart. And it's my opportunity to support Reverend Patty's theme for this month, which is an attitude of gratitude. And I am grateful for the opportunity to think about gratitude more comprehensively than I ever have before in preparation for this talk. And to come to the conclusion, that here's my conclusion, in support of the Yes Team song, that it is possible, helpful, meaningful, and also skillful to bring a grateful heart to everyone that we meet and into every encounter that we have and into everything that we do as a way of enriching our experience and transforming the world to the way in which we would like it to be. And I think that a grateful heart is a key to that. And so, as I contemplate gratitude, there are three things that I was thinking of. The gratitude is a medium of exchange. That secondly, it is a tool or really a practice for expanding our experience of good. And then the third thing is that gratitude can actually become an abiding state of being and a state of awareness in which we live all of the time. And how amazing would the world be if we were all living in a conscious state of gratitude all the time for every single thing, even the things that are difficult to be grateful for. So I'm hoping to convince you of all of this today. It's my unhidden agenda. So as a medium of exchange, if I do something for you or you do something for me, the receiver of the good says thank you and the giver says you're welcome, done deal. Okay, right? It's a formality. It's what our parents taught us to do, to say thank you and to say you're welcome. I'm watching my three-year-old grandchildren being indoctrinated in this now. Say thank you. And they say thank you. You know how it is. And yet it's an important formality and ritual, you could say, within our exchange with each other, because it honors the fact that we give and receive to and from each other and that we have impact and a role in each other's lives. However, it can be pretty superficial a lot of times, right? Pretty perfunctory, you know, kind of knee-jerk. It's just what we do. And I'm not even sure that we're always exactly there in the encounter. And so my thought is that this exchange could actually be a very rich and meaningful kind of exchange if we will bring more energy and more awareness and more consciousness into it, so that we're actually there in the moment of that kind of exchange. I'm teaching financial freedom. How many of you have taken that class? A few people. So I'm teaching financial freedom right now, and one of the principles in that class is that the way we manage anything is the way we manage everything. And so the way we manage money tends to be the way we manage our life. Now, don't go into a hole around this, okay? Because this is not a talk about money. But money is also a medium of exchange, so stay with me here as your mind goes, whoa, into all of that. But one of the principles is that how we manage money and life, one of the best principles for managing money and life, is that we establish a balanced pattern of circulation through healthy relationships. A balanced pattern of circulation through healthy relationships, which means we, in a healthy relationship, we give in, we engage in giving and receiving in a balanced fashion, and that we're openly engaged in both of those things. And when we're in a healthy relationship, it is easier to do that because there is that commitment for the exchange. So when we're doing the giving, and I don't mean just money, but money applies here too, but when we're doing the giving of ourselves, which is really all about love, and love is self-givingness. So when we're doing giving, where we're doing our work in the world or making our contribution, it is really important that we do what we do out of love for what we do. Like, I love my work, my contribution, so I'm going to do this. But it's also really important that we love the person we're doing it with. Remember that old song, Love the One You're With? So I have this incredible opportunity right now to stand here with you in this moment and to be doing what I love to do, which is to speak spiritual principle and to love you because you are receiving the gift I have to give. Can you feel the circulation of that? And so I just want to say thank you. So thank you for getting up today and getting dressed. And some of you got a really last-minute invitation from me on Facebook to come, and thank you for doing that. So it's about not just doing what we do, it's about loving who we're doing it with, mixing love in the experience. And when we're receiving, it's not only about wholeheartedly receiving the gift or the service or the blessing of what somebody is giving to us, and that is important to receive it, to feel given to, but also to love the being who's doing the giving and to have a profound sense of the encounter and the richness and the wholeness and the contribution of the one who is doing the giving to us. I was in the Austin airport a couple of weeks ago, and over the last 15 years, I have been in so many airports, and I was having food. I've been in so many restaurants over all of those years. I was just having some food before my flight. And always in a restaurant, in an airport, there is an exchange between the server and me, the consumer. And usually when the bill gets placed down and it's a thank you, a mutual thank you, and all of that kind of thing. But this server that I had in this time actually looked me in the eye and she said, "I appreciate you." And the words were different enough to really get my attention. And I looked at her and I said, "And I appreciate you." And you know what? I actually remember what she looks like. Because there was actually a deeper level of connection in that moment. And now I find myself saying to people, "I appreciate you." It's just about bringing a deeper level of caring and commitment into it. That whether we're a giver or a receiver, we can mix our heart into it. Just in that moment, it does not mean you have to go home with somebody, by the way. It doesn't mean anything but the moment of, I'm actually going to be in this experience, and unless you want to, and they want you to. But to actually be in the experience and with a grateful heart give and with a grateful heart receive and actually expand. In the receiving, in the giving, it's gratitude that somebody is there able to receive the gift that you're giving. Do you know that many people in the world, I would imagine, do not have a sense of anybody being able to receive their gift? And that's why it's so precious here, because you're here receiving the gift I have to give today. And I appreciate you. And it's in the receiving part to actually get the value and beauty of the being who's doing the giving. I've pretty much said that already. So that's about gratitude as a medium of exchange. And I just invite you to bring a little more awareness to the present moment and to the encounter. And you might even try that. I appreciate you. I like those words. So in terms of being a tool or a practice of increasing our good, there is a law of gratitude that says whatever I'm grateful for will increase. Whatever I am grateful for will increase. Now, why does that work? Why it works is because in order to be grateful for something, you actually have to see it. You actually have to see the presence of something in order to be grateful for it. And that sounds like, you know, sort of a duh kind of thing. But the truth is, we have a very pervasive problem on our planet. And that is we have a conviction of absence. And there is a tremendous amount of focus if you listen to political discourse. Lord have mercy. Although, well, never mind. I was about to make it very clear which party I belong to, and I don't really need to say that. So now I messed myself up entirely. So we have a pervasive conviction of absence, where if you listen to what we ourselves say, what other people say, very often there is a lot more viewing of what's missing and a lot of more words, many more words given to what's missing than what is present. And the mere fact that we're alive means there are a lot more things present than there are absent. And so it's really a question of, this is a little inventory moment for you. It's just to consider what gets most of your attention. Do you speak more often about what you don't have than what you have? You do not have to answer this question, but take it deeply within. Okay. Do you dwell more on your challenges than your victories? Do you share more about your troubles than your solutions? Now, ours is not a practice of denial. So it is not about pretending everything's, you know, all fine when it isn't. It's appropriate to spend time talking to people who support us about what we find missing in our lives as a way to begin the process of change. But the real point here is to look at where you dwell most of the time. What gets the most of your attention and what gets the most of airtime in the words that you speak? Which is more real to you? Let me ask you this right now. Which is more real to you, the presence of good or the absence of good? And that will show you where you're dwelling. And the problem is that whatever we give our attention to increases. So if we are always focused on what's missing, guess what? We're going to have more of what's missing because we're going to see what's missing more and more and more. And yet we live in a universe of presence. We live in a universe of presence. So Emma Curtis Hopkins, as many of you know, is somebody whom I love, so I will always sneak in an Emma teaching if I can. And Emma was known as the teacher of teachers, and she was the teacher of the Fillmores of Unity and Nona Brooks of Divine Science, and Ernest Holmes, our founder, was her last student. So there's lots of Emma in our study. She says this. She says, we feel, and she was writing in the 1880s, so her language is a little older. We feel the idea of good being for us, but we do not say so. And we feel the idea of good being absent, and we keep saying so. We think that our good is absent. We say aloud that our good is absent. And so, since everything is made from the word, from the thought and the word, if we keep speaking about what's absent, we're going to be creating more of what's absent. Does that make sense to you, at least in terms of a spiritual principle? Take a breath. And she says, between you and your good, which belongs to you and which you ought to have, is your idea of the absence of good. Between you and the good that you say that you want is your idea of its absence. And it's about where do we keep speaking all of the time. So she goes on to say this. It is one of the first teachings of metaphysics that all environments, circumstances, conditions, all the people who come near us, and everything else existed first as ideas in our own mind and now appear in plain sight to be known and read plainly. I'll say that again. It is one of the first teachings of metaphysics, in other words, the truth beyond the physical level, that all environments, circumstances, conditions, and all the people who come near us and everything else existed first as ideas in our own mind and now appear in plain sight to be known and read plainly. In other words, what she's saying is that what is within us becomes what we see on the outside. And it is kind of interesting to notice somebody who comes your way and say, what an interesting thought I'm having today. I'm not going to delve into that part of it. But when we have a persistent thought, we attract what is like our thought. That's the secret, right? We attract what is like our thought. But even more than that, we interpret everything through the thoughts that we have. And so if I have a certain conviction about this, that, or the other thing, I'm going to see what shows up around me as exactly that, because I'm seeing through the film of the conclusions that I've already come to. The great diarist Anna Eastman said, we see things not as they are, but as we are. We see things not as they are, but as we are. For example, if I'm feeling like a victim, if I'm thinking and feeling like a victim, I'm going to consider the world a dangerous place to be. The world is going to be dangerous to me. If I'm feeling in control, or let me say in influence of my life, if influencing my life the way that I would like to, I'm going to see the world as a desirable place to be because I'm going to know that I can influence my experience. If I'm seeing God in all things and particularly feeling the flow of spirit through myself and my life, I'm going to be seeing the world as a friendly place to be. If I know that all there is God and action through everything, it's going to be a friendly place for me. And if I'm actually living in the awareness of oneness and the full-on knowing that spirit is all there is, there's only one thing going on and it's spirit, I'm going to be happy. And I'm going to be living a great deal of freedom. And I'm going to know that my life is here as a ministry of service, an expression of all of that. And so the point of this is, first of all, we all have a kingdom of thoughts. We all have a realm of thoughts. And boy, there are a lot of them, aren't there? A whole realm of thoughts. And we have power or influence over the thoughts that we think and the ones that we make more important. That's the primary teaching of this study. Emma says, hush, hush your realm of thoughts for just a moment. Hush your realm of thoughts for just a moment. And allow, how did she say it here? And allow the one thought, the highest thought, which says, I am, speak. Hush your realm of thoughts and let the highest thought that you have, which will be some statement of your own being, I am. God is love, I am that. God is peace, I am that. God is the whole of me, W-H-O-L-E. Those kinds of things. Hush everything else and let that one thought speak. So let's try this one. I am the living presence of the living spirit. And I am grateful. Let's do it again. I am the living presence of the living spirit, and I am grateful.
I am the living presence of the living spirit, and I am grateful.
I am the whole of God, and I am grateful.
I am the whole of God, and I am grateful.
Beautiful. So engaging a grateful heart is one of the ways in which we start to reverse the energy of our attention going to what's absent and bringing it to what's present. Because the minute we express gratitude for something, a momentary encounter with somebody at a deeper level, something done for us, the beauty of where we live, all of it, we are actually seeing the presence of good, and it gets us out of that persistent conviction of absence. No matter what's missing in your life, there's so much more present. And there's a greater opportunity of bringing in what it is that you're missing if you're focused on what is present. So it's about taking the time to see, to feel given to by life. Each breath is a gift, each and every breath, to see sun, trees, beauty, ocean, feel air, see people, love friends, see the love that you have, the money that you have, the clothes that you have, the car that you have, the things that are present, because it is the gratitude for presence that expands in a greater degree of presence. So that's the second point. The third point is, how amazing would it be to actually live that way? To actually live in the place where we are seeing and knowing and speaking the amazing presence of good all of the time. I think that a grateful heart can be our state of being, and that gratitude can be an abiding state of awareness for us. There's so much to be grateful for. There's some musicians in our organization, Lisa Ferraro and Etika Luckett. I don't know if they've ever played here, but they have a song called Awe. And that song taught me, I looked for the lyrics this morning, couldn't find them, but one of the most important lines is, if we're not in awe, we're not paying attention. If we're not in awe, we're not paying attention. We've contracted down into our little conviction of absence, focused on what's missing instead of opening up to this amazing life that we're living. I know one of their parts of the song is about, you know, just about the amazingness of our human brain. When you think about it, life is pretty remarkable. You know, years ago at Pacific Church, who I like to call a philosopher scientist, Brian Swim, came to speak to us. That was way back in the day. I'm sure he's far too famous to do something like that now for that little group. And he gave this amazing talk that I've always remembered, and it was about how remarkable life is on our planet and really how narrow the range of possibility of chemistry and water and light allows life like ours to exist. Does that make sense the way I said it? In other words, our life is an utter miracle and just a few things off, and we wouldn't be here. And, you know, the news came out a week or so ago about Dubai, about how the temperature is increasing there, and it's moving into the uninhabitable range. In other words, that little narrow range of life on our planet is starting to be encroached upon. And so there's something to pray about. So if we're not in awe, we're not paying attention. And when you think about your personal life, or let me keep it personal, when I think about my personal life, it's pretty much a miracle that the people in my life continue to love me. Really. I mean, really. With all the shifts and changes and growing up all over them, you know, and all of the things, unskilled behavior, all of those things. Isn't it a miracle? I do think it's a miracle that people ever get together also. That's pretty incredible. And so the idea here today is that we could live with a grateful heart that sees the presence of good. Just look around the room. What a wealth of amazingness. What a wealth of awesomeness is here. Lisa and Etika's song ends with, "May I begin each day with gratitude and awe." May I begin each day with gratitude and awe. How about if we live life seeing this presence of good, not taking it for granted for one instant, not for one instant, but to receive fully, to give fully, to actually be in the encounter that we're in with people when we're exchanging goods and services, money, time, love, to actually be present and really just be able to say, "I appreciate you." So I invite you to close your eyes. So just taking a nice deep breath, let it go. And just on your next inhale, direct your breath into your heart center. Take a moment to feel your feet on the floor and your body in the chair. And what an amazing thing it is to have a body. I mean, really, if we start speaking about miracles, we'd be here forever. And just as you breathe into your heart center, meet that indwelling presence, your higher wisdom self that sees with the eye of the heart. It is also the eye of wisdom and the eye of love. And I invite you to allow it to bring up into your awareness something that is the presence of good in your life right now in your life. Something that is giving of itself to you in some way that benefits you. And take a moment just to give your attention to the presence of it in your life now and to feel grateful for it. To have a feeling of being benefited, of being given to, of being supported in some way, of your life being enhanced. And just notice that as the appreciation grows, so does your energy and your sense of life as being good. And I just invite you also to think about the highest thought that you would like to have be real for you today. What is the highest thought? And for today, and maybe even tomorrow, silence the realm of your other thoughts and let this one thought reign supreme. And so I'm so grateful for this time, for this opportunity to stand here, to do what I love to do, to receive your attention, to receive back the energy and wonderful circulation. I know and accept that as we walk a path of increasing awareness, that we allow gratitude to be part of our expansion, so that we find ourselves centered in each and every moment, really fully aware of what is taking place, mixing our love, our heart, into every single encounter, and feeling enhanced by it, giving fully of ourselves, receiving fully from the being of another. This truly is love. And so I give thanks for this. And I know it is done. and that we are each perfect in our own practice of this. And releasing this word now, together we say, and so it is. Amen. And thank you so much, and let's welcome the Yes team.